From the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Tim Coco. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900. Or email tcoco@whav.net.
Okay, Nate, we okay there? Good evening, everyone. This is Tim Coco, and you're watching the Open Mic Show. I hope you'll be able to continue to watch it, considering what we'll be talking about tonight. But if anything should happen to your picture, you can also watch WHAV at whav.tv on your computer or smartphone. You can also listen all the time at whav.net. Click the play button, whether you're on your computer or smartphone. All right. Sitting next to me in the studio is Stan Colton.
And that'll be a little delay.
Stan Colton is with us, and he is, well, I would say the former representative from the city of Haverhill to the... are we there? All right. Nate, your camera just came on. All right. it's okay. So Nate is working on some technical issues on our end. All these technical things distract me. But anyway, Stan Colton was Haverhill Mayor James J. Fiorentini's representative to the cable television board that operates Haverhill Community Television, HC Media Channel 22. All right. Let me give you a little intro to this story. We haven't been on for a couple of weeks. The first week we were interrupted because Haverhill Community Television did an interview with Santa Claus during this time slot. And then last week Haverhill Community Television was on vacation, and so we weren't on at that time. All right. Nate, is there a problem with that camera?
It's not showing your picture at all.
Is it?
It's on here, but it's not on the screen.
You've got it plugged in?
Yeah, it's plugged in. Yeah.
Did you have it tested before we went on the air? If not, you're going to have to switch with the other camera. All right. We're going to work on some picture problems that we have while we're doing this. All right, let me give the listeners a lead in. First of all, let me tell you that we will do the December birthdays right away. Our guest, Dan Colton, we're going to ask him to draw the name of the January birthdays, forgive me, January birthdays, which we would have normally have done last week. And then we'll start taking new entries for February birthdays right now. All right, here's the lead into this. Haverhill Community Television has ejected the city's representative to its board and changed its bylaws, reportedly, to prevent his reappointment. Stan Colton, sitting right next to me, appointed by Haverhill Mayor James J. Fiorentini, was recently removed from the public access station's board of directors after a reported bylaw change. He appears on WHAV's Open Mic Show right now. Tomorrow night, Haverhill City Councilor Melinda Barrett has asked for a discussion of the matter. She told WHAV Monday her concern is not just that Colton was removed, but also the city is barred from ever having a representative sit on the group's board. The city has an interest, she said, considering the television group receives more than $800,000 a year as a result of the city's contract with Comcast. They derive almost all of their income from the citizens of the city, Barrett said. Besides knocking out the city, the group's new bylaws also reportedly strikes out representatives from Northern Essex Community College and the Haverhill Public Library. Fiorentini told WHAV he's asked for a copy of the new bylaws or other documentation, but he has received no response. Besides Channel 22, Haverhill Community Television also operates the city's education and government channels. All right. Stan, somehow, this is on our end, so somehow there are stray neutrinos when you visit our station. But we're gonna work on that. I need to go in there to fix it, and I can't do that because I'm in here. So let's do some audio until the break, and then I will look at it. If listeners want to deal with me, Nate, unplug it, plug it back in, and see if you can connect it. All right. So,
life with live television. You know what that's like, right? All right.
On December 1st, Carol Verney, president of the board of directors of Haverhill Community Television Corporation, sent Haverhill Mayor Fiorentini a letter. Stan, may I read this?
Sure, go right ahead.
Dear Mayor Fiorentini, Haverhill Community Television received your letter dated October 17th, 2014, reappointing Stan Colton to the Haverhill Community Television Board of Directors. Last year, Haverhill Community Television Corp. Board of Directors amended its bylaws, eliminating the 4 set-aside appointments. At this time, the organization is in need of a board member with a different skill set than Stan possesses. We thank him for his service and consider his term expired. Thank you for your continued interest in Haverhill Community Television. Signed, Carol Verney, President, Board of Directors, Haverhill Community Television Corporation. Carol Verney herself, I think, went on the board because she was the representative from the Haverhill Public Library, which is one of those set-aside appointments.
Right.
She has resigned, and Sarah Moser, we announced on WHAV today, Sarah I. Moser has been permanently posted to the position of library director. Okay, Stan, let's start at the very beginning. When did you go on the board on Haverhill Community Television?
2013.
All right, so more than a year ago.
I was on there for 14 months before this came down.
All right, and then when you went on the board, how many, are there monthly meetings, weekly? How often do the meetings?
The meetings are scheduled by Darlene, and she notifies everybody by email and supposedly to contact me by phone because I don't have a...
All right, can you just get a little closer?
I don't have a computer, so they called me when they would allow me to be on the board of directors.
Okay. All right.
I attended most all meetings but one.
Okay. And how were those meetings? Were they, did they respect your role on the board?
I sat quiet to get a feel of what was going on because I've sat another as a board of director for 4 other corporations. And after watching what was going on and seeing what was going on, they had no agenda whatsoever. They'd get into a discussion on one particular subject, and that was it. And any time you came on to try to suggest something, never heard. So in November, I felt for the next meeting, I set up a thing that I requested to be put onto the board, and I requested that, per protocol, that a list of committees and who is on them.
All right. So these are questions you raised to put on the November agenda.
Right, which they had no meeting in November.
They had no meeting, okay.
Okay, and I asked for a list of the committee and who was on them. And I asked for an income statement breakdown of employees' compensation and what package they get. I like to explain the certain question on the bylaws. And meeting procedures, why don't we have old business and discussion, new business and discussion, the date and time, either afternoon or 6 or after for the next meetings. That was it.
What was your question on the bylaws?
Well, the bylaws have said on the ones that I got copies on that no person was supposed to be on more than 3 years. And there were some people on for a long period of time. And I wanted to find out, why the bylaws weren't being adhered to. And I had checked off numerous other things that I wanted to talk about on the bylaws.
Let me tell you what. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's take a break so I can go into the control room, take a look at the video problem, because one way or another, We're going to let people see you tonight, Stan. All right. So, folks, let's take a break. We'll be back, and I'm gonna almost guarantee we'll have that picture back, and we'll be back with more on the Open Mic Show after this.
Open Mic!
Tim Coco and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email tcoco@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV help keep these vital community services on the air. Donate online at www.whav.net.
This spot could have been yours. Support WHAV's local approach with your underwriting. Go to WHAV.net and click on support to reach thousands of new customers.
That's the way!
On air or online, WHAV serves you. All day long, keep up to date with tenacious but objective local reporting from the only Haverhill-based news source. Find out about civic and charitable events on Community Spotlight every quarter hour, and better prepare with Wave Weather heard every 30 minutes. For talk, there's Tom Hartman weekdays at noon, the Open Mic Show every Monday night, and David Pakman Tuesday through Friday nights. And there's more. Hear classic comedy and drama 7 nights a week at 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Finally, a unique blend of soft gold music radiates day and night. Only local radio can bring you this combination of music, news, and features, but only WHAV does.
Today is January 5th. On this day in 1885, Hugh O'Brien, the first Irish immigrant elected mayor of Boston, took the oath of office. A new era was beginning. For several decades, the Irish had outnumbered the native-born Protestants, who were now forced to give up their long domination of Boston politics. As a well-spoken, mild-mannered, successful businessman, O'Brien defied all the Yankee stereotypes of Irishmen. During 4 terms as mayor, he widened streets, planned the Emerald Necklace Park system, and built the new Boston Public Library in Copley Square, all the while cutting taxes. Popular among both native and Irish-born Bostonians, Hugh O'Brien paved the way for the better-known Irish mayors who would follow him, Honey Fitzgerald and James Michael Curley. For more about Hugh O'Brien, go online to massmoments.org. This Massachusetts Moment was brought to you by the Massachusetts Foundation for the Humanities.
WHAV, Open Mic!
From the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Tim Coco. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900. Or email tcoco@whav.net.
All right, welcome back to the Open Mic Show. In just a moment, there should be a photo everywhere. The photo is on WHAV.TV. And those of you listening on radio, well, you never had a photo to begin with. All right.
We just have.
Okay. All right, folks who are watching on Haverhill Community Television Channel 22, let me assure you there are not supposed to be any commercials, and I'm going to tell you exactly why there aren't. We pay $100 to Ustream Video for a commercial-free television stream. And for some reason, despite receiving $100 from WHAV, Ustream is putting on commercials, which are not allowed, and we appreciate your indulgence. All right, we have a photograph. Let's start fresh. My guest is Stanley Colton. Stanley W. What's your W for?
My middle initial, William.
William. Stanley Colton. Now, many of you know Stan from his television program, Colton's Corner, and many more of you probably remember one of the most contested elections in the city's history, went all the way to the Supreme Judicial Court when Stan ran for Haverhill City Council. And I think Stan will tell you that shows the importance of every vote. It came down ultimately, what, to one vote?
Not really, but that's how they said it was too late to change the seat, so.
All right.
It's a long, complicated answer.
That's a long story. But now, all right, so he was not allowed to take his seat on the Haverhill City Council, and now after more than a year on the Haverhill Community Television's Board of Directors seat, he has been told that the seat has been eliminated. Now, let me tell you, folks, why this is all happening. Haverhill City Councilor Melinda Barrett has put on the Haverhill City Council agenda for tomorrow night a discussion about why the city no longer has a representative to Haverhill Community Television. Her concern, she told WHAB just before the broadcast, that it's actually a City of Haverhill contract negotiated by the City of Haverhill with Comcast to provide the funding for Haverhill Community Television. And so, therefore, the city has an interest. Now, the word was, and again, we're reporting this only because it was already news. We're not making any news. Word was that when Stan was first appointed to the board, that some board members had lobbied to try to disqualify him. Is that right? Now, Stan, what happened that first time around? Obviously, you did sit on the board. You were appointed by the mayor as the city's representative. What do you know about that first time?
Well, I understand they took a vote, and it was tied 3-3. And I guess the ex-president of Haverhill Bank said to them, it's a mayor's appointment, you can't do anything about it, and that's it.
All right, so Tom Faulkner.
Yeah. That's the story I got.
Okay, so the board voted 3-3, and Tom Faulkner broke the tie?
Yeah, well, Tom, from what I understand, Tom Faulkner told them, no matter what vote you take, you're going to have to put him on. He's the mayor's selection, and that's it.
And that's because the bylaws allow the mayor to make an appointment, allow Northern Essex Community College to make an appointment, allow the trustees of the Haverhill Public Library to make an appointment, and those are called set-aside appointments, according to this letter. All right. Now, to bring our listeners up to date, if you're just tuning in, so Haverhill Mayor James Fiorentini received a letter December 1st from Carol Verney, president of the Board of Directors of Haverhill Community Television Corp. She said, Haverhill Community Television received your letter dated October 17th, 2014, reappointing Stan Colton to the Haverhill Community Television Board of Directors. Last year, she wrote, Haverhill Community Television Corp. Board of Directors amended its bylaws, eliminating the four set-aside appointments. At this time, the organization is in need of a board member with a different skill set than Stan possesses. We thank him for his service and consider his term expired. Thank you for your continued interest in Haverhill Community Television. Sincerely, Carol Verney, President, Board of Directors. All right. Seems to me I'm on a lot of boards. You're on a lot of boards. Usually if there's a bylaw change, all board members are present to vote on them.
Mm-hmm.
Were you invited to a meeting where they changed the bylaws?
Nope. Had no knowledge whatsoever that the bylaws that were changed from the ones that I received.
All right. And so what was your – how did you first learn that you could not sit on the board?
By that letter.
By that letter. You were – okay, you were CC'd.
Right.
You were carbon copied on the letter to the mayor.
Well, that's correct.
What did you do when you first received it?
Well, I didn't know anything about it. I was working at the time with handicapped kids, and the mayor called me and asked me to come into his office as soon as I finished. And I went down after 4 o'clock, and the mayor was waiting for me with David Van Dam. And he said, you get a copy of this letter? I said, I don't know what are you talking about.
Oh, so you hadn't even seen your copy yet?
No, I have not.
Because you went right from work.
Right. My copy never came until 2 days later.
Okay.
To my post office box.
All right. So then what was your reaction?
I was dumbfounded. The mayor asked me, did you ever see the bylaws? I said, never heard of the bylaws. Never knew they had a vote in another bylaws. And I said, if you look at the letter, what did they wait from October 17th to December 1st to tell you? You know, I think it's my opinion that it was an insult to the people of Haverhill, who I was representing. It was an insult to the city councilors who voted on it, and deeply slap in the face to the mayor of Haverhill, who has done a lot for them. And that was my reaction to him. And all he said to me is, I'm going to write a letter to them, which I give you a copy of, that he sent to them. And as of this date, to my knowledge, not one director has seen that letter that was addressed to the board of directors. Two of them I spoke to personally and have told me they have not seen the letter.
Oh, so they were not distributed. Let me tell them, listeners, let me read this to you. This is a letter from Haverhill Mayor James J. Fiorentini, dated December 8th. It's to the Board of Directors of Haverhill Community Television, 60 Elm Street in Haverhill, regarding Mayor's appointment to Board of Directors. Dear Board of Directors, I received your letter dated December 1st. From the time that Haverhill Community Television has come into existence, there has always been a reasonably good working relationship between the City of Haverhill and HC Media. This working relationship allowed me to take funds from the ratepayers of Haverhill and give them to HC Media to conduct its operation. There is no legal requirement that we do so. From the time of its existence until now, HC Media has allowed the mayor of the city, whomever the mayor happened to be, to have one appointment on the board of directors. My appointment has been and will continue to be Stanley Colton. In October, I reappointed Stanley Colton for a one-year term on the board, as has always been allowed by your bylaws. I am now told in a letter dated December 1st that you consider his appointment expired. This action will severely jeopardize whatever relationship there is between the City of Haverhill and HC Media. While I understand that some people object to Mr. Colton and that Mr. Colton considered himself to be a whistleblower, I have severe questions about whether you have the legal right to determine your own board members and to remove him. We will take whatever steps are necessary to make certain that Mr. Colton remains on the board. I request an immediate meeting with all of the board members of HC Media to discuss this. I also request a copy of your charter and a copy of the action you took, including the minutes of the meeting and the notices that went out to the directors where you say you eliminated the 4 seats set aside for appointments. I would like to know what other seats were eliminated when this action was taken, the minutes of the meetings, and any other evidence you have that this was a legal action. Mr. Colton, who was legally a member of the board, says he has no knowledge of any such meeting or vote. Very truly yours, James J. Fiorentini, Mayor. Well, them's fighting words. Huh? So let me repeat this one paragraph. This action will severely jeopardize whatever relationship there is between the City of Haverhill and HC Media. That's pretty strong. And he says, I have severe questions about whether you have the legal right to determine your own board members and to remove him. Well, you have some strong allies, Stan.
I guess so, yeah. The mayor is not too happy about it. I feel that the citizens of Haverhill are not going to be represented on this thing, and I think it's unfair. And I don't, and no one, as I said, there are a couple of board of directors that have not received the mayor's letter. You know, my question is, how many other letters that went for the board of directors in the past have not been distributed to them? Where did they go? Why was the action taken on these things?
All right, so you think the letter went to 60 Elm Street, just wasn't distributed?
Yeah.
All right, now, again, listeners, this is not an open mic show attack on anybody. This is a news item. Haverhill City Councilor Melinda Barrett placed on the City Council agenda for tomorrow night a request that there be a discussion on why the city no longer has a representative to the Haverhill Community Television Board of Directors. Now, Haverhill Community Television does call itself HC Media now, but I have not seen any business certificate or any other documentation showing that that's anything more than a nickname. Do you know?
As far as I know, it hasn't been DBA'd or anything like that.
All right. So, again, this is a sensitive matter, but I did talk to City Councilor Barrett just before the program, and she made the point that, one, Haverhill Community Television is a nonprofit. That means it is regulated not by private individuals. It's actually regulated by the Attorney General of Massachusetts. That's still Martha Coakley. In a couple weeks, it'll be Mara Healy.
I think she actually officially begins on the 21st now.
Tomorrow's swearing in.
Okay, there'll be swearing in ceremonies. Yeah. But in any event, the Attorney General controls nonprofits and has a right to review bylaws and check terms and conditions. So this is very much a public entity. WHAV is also a nonprofit and also is regulated by the Massachusetts Attorney General. So this is, you know, not one rule for one person and one rule for another. So it's pretty straightforward. And again, I'm just being careful. I want to make sure that I present this fairly and that listeners and viewers of this program understand there's no behind-the-scenes objective. It's a news item. City Councilor Barrett placed this, and even the mayor's correspondence, which I did not see until this program began, the mayor's correspondence is public information. All right, Stan, let me ask you, let's make this a little more personal.
Go ahead.
Your feelings hurt?
Nope. My feelings are hurt for the citizens of Haverhill, as I said, the city council and the mayor. I expected that they would find some retaliation against me because, as they know, I'm an outspoken person, and I've been around too long. I'm one of the originators of the station with Donnie Perkins.
That's right. You go back some 25 years or so, and you've had a program all these years.
Right. And
I've been on your program.
Right. Several times. And so I'm on the originators when it started out at Bradford College, okay? So I've been around. My goal, and always has been my goal, to see this station flourish and really take off. I think it has a heck of a lot of potential to go further than where it is right at this point. And that was my objective, to make sure that all the residents of Haverhill, including the satellite dishes and so forth, were given the opportunity to see the city council, the school committee, the licensing board, and any other educational channel and everything else.
So those people who don't have cable, you're hoping to get Haverhill Community Television actually on their satellite dishes as well.
Right.
So that was a pretty lofty goal.
Right. Well, you've got to start talking now to the, and DirecTV has sent out advertisement, which I have, that there are local channels and they want to keep local communication for the public on there. And
you wrote this, you asked, it looks like, what, November 21st?
22nd. Right.
One of those, November 21, 22. As a member of the board, as far as you knew, you were a member of the board, and
correct,
you sent in for the next board meeting a list of questions you wanted placed on the agenda.
Right.
Can you go through those questions one more time, and then I'm going to ask you
sure.
Going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
All right, so you asked for this. And what was your request?
My request was a list of committees and who was on them. It never was divulged to me in any way, form, or manner, so I was curious to find out.
Like little subcommittees of the board.
Right.
Okay.
An income statement breakdown of employees' compensation and what packages they get.
All right, so salary and, you know, health, medical, that kind of stuff.
Right. I'd like to have explained to certain questions on the bylaws, the ones that they were given to me. So, okay.
You have an old copy of bylaws, as far as you knew, those were.
That's what they gave me when I went. It was put on the board. And meeting procedures, why don't we have old business in discussion, new business in discussion, and a date and time, either afternoon or 6 or after, or for the next meeting. My reason for putting the bottom part on, because I've been on four other board of directors, companies as board of director, and the procedure has always been this way.
Well, is there a written agenda for meetings?
No, they just come in and you get a plan, agenda is going to be such and such, and that's it. They'll ask the question, is the last secretary's report accepted? And they have one specific subject they stay on, and that's it. And they go, look, there's some great directors on there with a lot of ability. They got a director on there that probably one of the best experts in real estate.
Okay.
They got Frank? Frank Novak,
okay.
He's got 36 years. He's a very intelligent man when it comes to real estate and so forth.
I'll tell you what, can we hold that thought? We have to go to local news with Dana Esmal, national news. Then we're going to come back and continue this. Also, listeners, if you're just tuning in, we will draw the winning cake right after we come back from news and weather. We'll draw the winning cake for January birthdays, and then we'll begin accepting February birthdays tonight. Also, we welcome your calls. Stan says he's willing to stay and take your calls, 978-374-1900. Please stay with the first edition of the Open Mic of the new year. We'll be right back.
Open Mic!
Tim Coco and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email tcoco@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV help keep these vital community services on the air. Donate online at www.whav.net.
It's 7:04.
WHAV Merrimack Valley. WHAV is a not-for-profit service of Public Media of New England, Incorporated. It's heard on 1640 AM, the web, at whav.net, and participating cable television stations.
Here's what's happening in local news. After 6 months as interim director of the Haverhill Public Library, Sarah I. Moser has been hired by the city and the Library Board of Trustees to the permanent post. David Van Dam, aide to Mayor James J. Fiorentini, confirmed to WHAV on Monday that Moser, assistant director, and who joined the library staff during March 2013, was hired to succeed Director Carol Verney, who retired last July. WHAV was first to report the trustees named Moser as interim director prior to conducting a search for a new director last November. The full-time position oversees approximately 25 full-time employees and 30 volunteers and is responsible for supervision of department heads, division heads, and office staff. The salary ranges between $72,491 and $84,048 per year. Another downtown property redevelopment proposal going before the Haverhill City Council at their regular meeting Tuesday night. The council is being asked to approve easements and a tax increment exemption agreement for the redevelopment of 37 Washington Street, the former Surplus Office Supply building. Developer 37 Washington LLC Boston would create a total of 19 rental housing units at the nearly 20,000 square foot four-story structure, 18 of which would be market rate units. The redevelopment project would fall under the Commonwealth's Housing Development Incentive Program and within the city's downtown waterfront market rate incentive zone designated by the city and approved by the Commonwealth in 2013. Under a proposed tax increment exemption agreement, the development would be exempt from 50% of property taxes due in the project's first fiscal year, and the exemption would decrease by 10% during the subsequent four fiscal years. The project is seeking easements within the surrounding city-owned passageways of Newcomb Place, Mechanics Row, and Webster Place. The developer proposes additional window openings to brick partition walls on the Newcomb Place and Webster Place sides of the building, and to construct or repair stairs, loading docks, fire escapes, and underground utilities, among other amenities, along the Mechanics Row side. The Haverhill City Council meets at 7 p.m. Tuesday in council chambers at Haverhill City Hall. In local high school sports, a 1-1 tie for Haverhill Hillies girls hockey in action against Boston Latin High. Hillies wrestlers winners on Saturday in regional action over Burlington, Quabbin, and Scituate. For more details, visit WHAV.net. Remember, WHAV is the only Haverhill-based news source, and it's always free. In the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, this is Dana Esmel.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. Lebanon's new restrictions on the acceptance of Syrian refugees has prompted concern from the United Nations. Over 1 million refugees from Syria are already in Lebanon, and the country says it does not have the capacity to continue to accept an unrestricted amount of people. Lebanon says it will now only accept those with a visa who face extreme circumstances, but the UN is concerned whether the most vulnerable population will still be able to find safety in Lebanon. Jury selection has begun in the Boston Marathon bombing trial. Jokhar Tsarnaev is accused of detonating two bombs at the 2013 marathon, killing three people and injuring 260 others. He's pled not guilty to all 30 charges against him, but could face the death penalty if found guilty. Our correspondent in Boston, Nick Harper, says the jury selection process will take several weeks.
From now until the end of Wednesday, around 1,200 potential jurors will be seen. They're filling out questionnaires, which will determine their eligibility to sit on the jury. Now, some of them will be called back for extra questions. The whole selection process is likely to last around 3 weeks. Addressing the jurors, Judge George O'Toole stressed the need to find a fair and impartial jury. Many people have been concerned about whether the defendant, Jokhar Tsarnaev, can receive a fair trial in the city that he allegedly bombed. Judge O'Toole expects testimonies to start on the 26th of January, with the whole trial lasting around 3 to 4 months.
The tomb of a queen who ruled 4,500 years ago has been discovered in Egypt by a Czech archaeology team. The finding lies southwest of Cairo, near the pyramid for Pharaoh Neferefre, likely the husband of this queen, who the Egyptian antiquities minister has identified as Queen Tekakwes III. The U.S. has charged two American men with plotting to overthrow the government of Gambian President Yahweh Jammeh. The FBI investigator has provided details of what appears to have been an inept coup attempt on the 30th of December. Daniel Wrenches reports.
57-year-old Cherno Ngi, a U.S. citizen of Gambian descent, was, according to the FBI, using a code name Dave, and according to his LinkedIn page, was a property developer and former government housing official in Texas. He was expected to become the next interim president after a successful coup. They expected 160 members of the Gambian military to turn up, but in the end there were just 10 to 12 plotters. The U.S. has also charged Papa Fall, codenamed Fox, a joint U.S.-Gambian citizen and resident of Minnesota, who shipped 30 weapons into Gambia last year and reportedly served in the U.S. Army and Air Force.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Wave weather!
I'm WHAV meteorologist Gary Best with Wave Weather. It'll be fair basically through the nighttime hours after a chance of a flurry. Low temperatures around 10 to 15 degrees overnight. During the day on Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies. A bit of light snow or snow showers, not amounting to much, under an inch. Temperature low to mid-20s, down into the teens at night. 20s on Wednesday, partly sunny and windy, with a chance of snow showers, bitter cold, Wednesday night and Thursday. I'm Gary Best, your next Wave Weather in 30 minutes.
Phil Christie here.
Still not sure when your favorite features are broadcast? Check out the What's On page at www.whav.net for complete listings.
WHAV.
From the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Tim Coco. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900. Or email tcoco@whav.net.
Welcome back to the Open Mic Show, a 50-year staple of democracy in the Merrimack Valley. This hour of the Open Mic Show is being brought to you by Haverhill Bank. Just one bank. Okay, we're back here. We're going to ask Stan Colton, our guest, to draw the name. Let me just turn these around a little bit. Draw the name of the January birthday cake winner, which we were unable to do last week.
I'm going to go way to the bottom.
All right. So, okay, Stan, you want to read the name for us? Can you read that?
Samuel Yankley.
All right. Samuel, yeah. In Haverhill. This came in on his birthday is January 10th, I think. I don't remember who called this in. Maybe we should start collecting the name of the... What's that? Okay, this one might have been from our regular listener, Marcel. So Samuel has won the birthday cake for January. Stan, thank you for drawing the name.
Pleasure and an honor.
And, of course, we want to remind everyone that our good friends at Albie D's Second Generation Italian Bakery at 140 South Main Street in Bradford donates the cakes absolutely free of charge to WHAB listeners and the recipients of the contest. And, you know, amazingly, they're open every day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I don't know. I mean, as I said before, 6 a.m. is like the middle of the night to me.
They are open when I go by there at 6 o'clock.
So 6 a.m. Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Normally, those hours would be good for just about anybody. So those are great. And the winner receives a 7-inch cake, a choice of vanilla or chocolate. Samuel's going to get a letter in the mail from WHAV asking him to call the bakery to order his cake so it'll be fresh for him. And then he'll bring the letter with him as proof that he won the contest. So congratulations. Happy birthday, Samuel. All right. Again, if you're just joining us, our guest is Stanley Colton. He, up until very recently, was the City of Haverhill representative to the Haverhill Community Television Board of Directors. If you're watching the Open Mic Show right now on Channel 22, this is the station we're actually talking about. So we want to be very, very clear. This item was placed on the City Council agenda by an elected City Councilor, Melinda Barrett. As such, it is a news item, and it should be covered. And as such, Stan Colton came in tonight, and we're very grateful, very thankful that you did, because Stan also brought additional information, rather interesting. Just to recap for you, it looks like October 17th, Haverhill Mayor James J. Fiorentini reappointed Stanley W. Colton as the City of Haverhill's representative to Haverhill Community Television, a nonprofit entity. On December 1st, the mayor received a letter.
December 5th.
He received it on the 5th, but it was dated the 1st. The mayor received a letter from Carol Verney, president of the Board of Directors of Haverhill Community Television. If that name, by the way, sounds familiar, Carol Verney retired as a library director last June or July, as reported on WHAB News. In any event, she said that the Board of Directors amended its bylaws and eliminated four set-aside appointments. So the Haverhill has a set-aside, the library has a set-aside, Northern Essex Community College has a set-aside, and I believe the fourth one would have been Bradford College as a set-aside, but they, of course, are no longer in existence.
It's a school department, no.
Well, actually, the school department may have a set-aside appointment. In any event, the board said it has new bylaws. Haverhill Mayor Fiorentini responded with a letter dated December 8th, and he said the Haverhill Community Television is ultimately a public entity, is a nonprofit, is a public entity, and that the action will, quote, severely jeopardize whatever relationship there is between the City of Haverhill and HC Media. The mayor goes on to point out that it is because the City of Haverhill has a contract with Comcast that Haverhill Community Television can receive more than $800,000 a year from ratepayers. All right. Stan, you say your feelings aren't hurt. What kind of skills do you think they are referring to when they say they're looking for someone with a different skill set? You mean one who doesn't make waves?
I guess so.
All right. So,
first of all, I got 3 degrees. I got an associate in accounting and business. I have an associate in security, and I got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. Okay? I've been on, and I submitted to them that I was on 3 different boards of director, plus I was a board of director of North Shore Patrol for many years, and I was a director of Wayside of Virginia and Half Moon Beach and one other out in Virginia when I was there. So I do know, understand what's going on. I got, you know, a lot more business and accounting things. And I know how our directors, how our boards should be run. And I guess I mushroomed some of the toes. I stepped on some of the toes that didn't like me asking too many questions to get to the thing to make the organization better. As I said at the before the commercial, there are some good people on the board of directors. Some of them are scared to open their mouths, but that's always the way in some board of directors. And, you know, there's some people that are just go along with the flow of whatever the executive director or the president wants to put through.
All right. Now, let's go through some of the board members. You mentioned already Tom Faulkner, former president and still chairman of the board of Haverhill Bank, is a board member, and he is one of the people who said that if the mayor made the appointment, then you should serve. Right. So then you mentioned Frank Novak, a local realtor, very active in the Haverhill Rotary Club. We've mentioned Carol Verney, former library director. Who else is on there?
Leary. James Leary, the attorney.
James Leary?
What's his name? Leary.
Jay Cleary.
Jay Cleary.
Jay Cleary, yes. Okay.
Warren Medley, who I know for years, is the nicest guy in the world.
Warren Medley.
Bob...
McConaughey?
Yeah. Excellent man. He's secretary. The girl from Northern Essex that's no longer on there was excellent.
Do you remember who that was?
I can't think of her name off the top. Then you get the treasurer and Vani, and that's it, you know.
Alan Foucault's no longer a member?
No, Alan Foucault is no longer there. He was originally from there.
Okay. All right, so we have a telephone call. Let me give you some headphones so you can listen in. While the speakers are muted. All right. Let's go to the phones. You're on the open mic show.
Hey, how you doing, Tim? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Stan. How are you?
Okay.
Let me make a few comments before you comment.
All right. Woody's a long-time WHAV open mic show listener and also the one behind helping us with many trivia questions and prizes.
Yeah, I know, Stan. We go way back. Let me make a few comments. Hey, how you doing?
Okay, great.
Let me make a few comments. You know, it's almost like, I mean, to me it's sinister. There's something going on with HCTV. I mean, if they're getting upwards of $1 million a year, and they're pulling this because... You know, maybe he doesn't have the same views as everybody else on HCV. I mean, are they going to start knocking him off his TV show, which he's been on for years and years and years, and he has a different point of view? And you know, I've noticed over the years, Tim, when you've had a guest, I don't know if it was Stan or Bill Masick a few times, and it wasn't something that conformed to HCTV's, all of a sudden it would go off the air. So I know they control a lot of that. And I know you can't agree with me because...
Well, I'm giving them a lot of credit for holding us on tonight.
Well, my point is, I've seen it on your show. It's like if there was some controversial guest, next thing you know, the thing goes blank. And you know it's coming from HCTV. I mean, it's, who else would it come from? And the board of directors are who?
Novak, Cleary.
Cleary.
What's his name from the bank? Faulkner.
Tom Faulkner.
Yeah, and all those guys are great guys, and they've been on for years. I mean, do you feel they're behind any of this?
Not to my knowledge. I know I know the three people that are behind this whole situation, but I'm not going to mention their names. I don't think this is the time.
Well, if that's the case, because it is a non-profit, and they're upwards of $1 million a year, and Ferrantini is behind you, like he says, then why not just form a new community TV show where Tim's not being interrupted by these stupid... those commercials are ruining his show.
Well, actually, I have to say that that is not their fault.
I understand that, yeah. But there's got to be a connection someplace. I know it's a live stream and...
I'm going to answer your question in two ways, okay? Yes, I've been outspoken for saying it. As I said at the beginning, Donnie Perkins, Kowalski, the professor, the president of Bradford College, Randy Boucher, we worked and started that station over at Bradford College in a cubbyhole. Ryan gave us some help. Pelosi gave us some help.
That's right.
And Donnie Perkins and I was the first program on there that if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
And I actually have some tapes of him, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And of Donnie, you know, so I
go back longer than some of these other people, okay? My goal before I die, and I'm getting old, is I wanted to see that station mushroom because I think there's a lot of potential there that could... And the station could be broadened and have some decent talent, and a decent talent was eliminated that could make that station be one of the star cases of New England.
That's right. I agree with you there, but it seems to me like there's something sinister here. You can't get information on what these people are. You know, their pay or their non-profit status.
Well, that's why I got bumped out of there, because the second question I asked was the exploding question of all of them that I put in on the 22nd of November. Okay?
Yeah.
And why did it take from the 17th of October for the mayor to get a letter typed December 1st, received December 5th, waiting 6 weeks, 7 weeks? Why is it that the board of directors... Two of them that I know personally have never received or saw a copy of the letter the mayor wrote to them as of December 22nd. And from what I understand from Mr. Coco, the mayor expressed to him that he still hasn't received any comment from his letter from the station. So I assume the rest of them haven't done it, okay?
Yeah.
And if I was... the president, and I got a letter to the board of directors, I'd make sure it was distributed immediately, called the special meeting, and invited the mayor, who is the leader of the city, and give him the opportunity to discuss what he wanted to. I think it's a slap in the face to the mayor, I think it's a slap in the face to the city council, and I think it's slap in the face to the citizens of Haverhill.
There is something going on here, and the mayor has, he's got to step up to the plate. I heard what his letter was, and if he's sincere, I mean, you got all these good guys on the board and all this. Where are they? Are they outspoken? Are they saying anything, or is it just one or two people? They're going to ruin that. They'll ruin everything. I mean, I maybe get a grassroots movement, get a new nonprofit. Say the hell with them.
Well, that's up to the mayor to do. He controls the funding of the money.
It's up to the city. It's up to the citizens too.
That's correct.
There was a lot of good programming on that. It's been on a long time. I've watched it since day one, and
I've seen it grow over the I've been there 26, almost 27 years from the beginning.
Yeah,
okay.
But if they're knocking you off because, you know, I ever see the program, the five, you got four Republicans and one Democrat.
That's
you need that to make the show. Do you know what I mean?
Right, I watch it all the time.
You got to have a little controversy. If not, it's just all one way.
Well, that's what's going on right at this point. When I left, there was one subject that they hopped on, and they didn't want to know anything for the future. I have a lot of things I could say, but I'm not going to say.
Oh, no, I got a lot of things I could say, too, but I can't really say too much either.
I'll put it to you this way. There's an inner faction in there that hates my guts.
I know that.
And that party will do anything in the world to stop me from being on that board because I was too smart for her.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I like watching Haverhill Community Stan Fran TV. Let's call it Stan Fran.
Way back on Primrose Street.
Right. You know, when it was, I think it was $4.95 a month. And
yeah, I know. Amazing, isn't it?
But anyway, all right, well, good luck, and I'm just kind of, to me, there is something sinister going on down there, and I don't know what it is. And
I know what it is, and you're right.
You know, all it takes is one or two, and you know what I mean? So maybe it's time for a change, you know what I mean?
That's up to the citizens of Haverhill.
Well, maybe you got to get back down to the corner.
Yeah, that's a good place.
This time we'll have a few people holding signs too, I'm sure.
Yeah, Brad will be calling. He's going to give away most of the questions to that trivia question so we can get a new one on.
Actually, while you're still here, we'll give this one last chance. How's that? This is was the Santa Parade related one, right?
Nobody won that, but let me give you another clue before Rod calls.
Oh, okay.
The party was at the VFW.
All right, so that was the first answer.
Okay. And then it will move to the Nettle School because it comes so huge.
That was the second answer.
Okay, all we need to know is who played Santa Claus, and that should be pretty easy.
All right, so you'll still do the $10.
Oh, yeah, great.
All right, here it is, folks. Before the Santa Parade started in Haverhill, there was another activity for kids and adults. It was a Christmas party. The first question was, where was it?
VFW, yeah.
It's the VFW. Myself. The second question is, it got so big it moved where? And that was Nettle School. So the only remaining question to win a $10 gift certificate to Kimball Tavern Antiques, corner of Salem and South Main Streets in Bradford, answer this. Who played Santa Claus at that party? Thank you very much.
Rod will be calling with another one anyway.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, you guys take care.
Great. Have a happy and a healthy New Year.
Oh, yeah. I'm just sick of those streaming videos. I don't know. You've got to put a stop to that, Jim.
Yeah, well, I'm working on it, believe me.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to hire another lawyer, right? All right.
Yeah, someday, maybe another week, I'll explain all of that. But it looks like our FM station's on its way. So
there it is. Beautiful.
Kimball Tavern Antiques. All right. All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to go to weather right now, local weather from local meteorologists, and then we'll be back with more of the Open Mic Show. I'd like to remind you this hour of the Open Mic Show has been brought to you by Haverhill Bank, just one bank.
Open Mic!
Tim Coco and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email tcoco@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV help keep these vital community services on the air. Donate online at www.whav.net.
It's 7:31.
When local news breaks, the wave is there. Soft gold. WHAV.
Open Mic!
Every Monday night, the Open Mic Show brings interesting guests into your homes, presents your take on current events, and dabbles in little-known local history. I'm Tim Coco, your host, inviting you to join the chorus of community voices beginning at 6:30 Monday nights right here on WHAV. You may also watch this 50-year staple of democracy live at WHAV.tv and Haverhill Community Television, Channel 22. The Open Mic Show was brought to you by Northern Essex Community College, the Merrimack Valley Economic Development Council, and WHAV member. Remember, only local radio can bring you this talk opportunity, but only WHAV does.
Wave weather!
I'm WHAV meteorologist Gary Best with Wave Weather. It'll be fair basically through the nighttime hours after a chance of a flurry. Low temperatures around 10 to 15 degrees overnight. During the day on Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies. A bit of light snow or snow showers, not amounting to much, under an inch. Temperature low to mid-20s, down into the teens at night. 20s on Wednesday, partly sunny and windy, with a chance of snow showers, bitter cold Wednesday night and Thursday. I'm Gary Best, your next Wave Weather in 30 minutes.
From the Edwin B. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Tim Coco. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900. Or email tcoco at whav.net.
And welcome back to the Open Mic Show. This hour of the Open Mic Show is being brought to you by the Merrimack Valley Economic Development Council. Smart companies, choose the Merrimack Valley. Okay, I'll bring everyone up to speed. Guests right next to me, Stan Colton, known for Colton's Corner on cable television for years and years, associated with Haverhill Community Television, even back before it was incorporated, back at Bradford College many years ago. Two other things tonight, okay, the Kimball Tavern trivia question has been revised, much simpler now. All we want to know, for you to win a $10 gift certificate, be the first person to answer, who played Santa Claus at the Christmas parties that took place at the VFW and later the Nettles School more than 50 years ago? Who played Santa Claus? All right. Also, earlier during the program, we drew the winner for January birthdays. That was Samuel of Haverhill. He'll be getting a letter in the mail. And now we'll take birthdays for February. So call in, wish someone a happy birthday or a couple a happy anniversary, and we'll have we'll announce that next at the end of this month. But call in those names, 978-374-1900. Okay, to bring us back to our discussion, Woody raised some good questions, and you provided some good answers. Let's recap what's happening. Tomorrow night, the Haverhill City Council, City Councilor Melinda Barrett specifically, has asked for a discussion of the matter, where Haverhill Community Television has apparently ejected the city's representative to its board of directors and changed its bylaws to prevent his reappointment. Who is he? That's he, Stan Colton. Been on the board for a little more than a year, it appears, if the appointments are annually. And when the mayor reappointed Stan as his representative to the board of directors, as enabled by the bylaws, sometime the mayor apparently made the appointment October 17th. Haverhill Community Television waited quite a while, wrote back to the mayor in a letter dated December 1st. Saying that last year, Haverhill Community Television's Corp Board of Directors amended its bylaws, eliminating the four set-aside appointments. At this time, the organization is in need of a board member with a different skill set than Stan possesses. We thank him for his service and consider his term expired. All right, well, the mayor certainly didn't seem to appreciate that term expired. He wrote, this action will severely jeopardize whatever relationship there is between the city of Haverhill and HC Media. While I understand that some people object to Mr. Colton and that Mr. Colton considered himself to be a whistleblower, I have severe questions about whether you have the legal right to determine your own board members and to remove him. The mayor continued, "We will take whatever steps are necessary to make certain that Mr. Colton remains on the board." The mayor's requested a meeting and said as late as this afternoon, just before the program, that he has not received a response from Haverhill Community Television. All right, Stan, the mayor referred to you as a whistleblower. Do you consider yourself a whistleblower?
No, I consider myself that I was appointed by the mayor with instructions to report back to him in order to benefit the residents of Haverhill, and that's what I did. There were certain things within the meetings I never discussed because they asked to be kept confidential, which I have. So I don't know where we got the term. I may be a whistleblower by going back and telling him what went on in certain things in the meeting. And I thought he was the man I was to report to. And so he could work and I could help out the citizens of Haverhill. And that's what my job was, to make sure the residents were protected and that the mayor got information in order to help broaden the station and help it out.
All right, for listener and viewer benefit, can you briefly explain the city's role in the process of getting Haverhill Community Television more than $800,000 a year?
They signed a contract with Comcast, and they get I think it's 50 cents a box from Comcast. It's paid quarterly to Haverhill Community Television to keep it functioning, to take care of the salaries and take care of all the other expenses that are incurred with the station.
All right. So our cable box right here, for example, we pay something on our bill, a franchise fee.
Right.
And add that up, and it's more than $1 million a year or so.
I guess from the figures I hear,
All right. And then how often were you – we do have a phone call, and we'll get to the listener right away – how often did you discuss financials at meetings?
All I saw was what the quarterly came in. I'd see a statement. They give you 2 minutes to read it over, and then they collect it because they didn't want it to go out to be seen out of the director's office. So I only was able to scan through it and ask a couple of questions, and they take it away.
All right. So the board members weren't allowed to keep any documents?
No. Not supposed to.
All right. And then you asked a particular question. Out of all the questions you asked, do you think the one you – I think you said – let me just confirm that you said this – the one that you think probably resulted in them trying to get you off the board is that you wanted to know how much each employee was paid.
Right. The salary structure for 10 people was – kind of heavy for me, to see when I worked and handled payrolls for an organization.
There are 10 people who work there?
Yeah. That are paid money, salaries and part-time hourly employees.
Okay. All right, we're going to take that phone call, but Nate?
Standing question? Answer.
We have. I don't understand what you want me to do.
I have a caller.
I'm on the air.
Standing question.
Okay. This is the problem with live television. All right, let me take the caller who has a birthday wish. You are on the open mic show.
Hello, Tim. Hello, Stan.
All right, this is Brian. Stan, can you hear okay?
You recognize my voice.
What's that?
You recognize my voice.
You are a regular.
Okay. But you never recognize it when I call under disguise. Well...
Oh, really? You're the one who calls with those, 1999 numbers?
Oh, 999? What are those?
I don't know. I just made it up. I have no idea.
You know what they are, I guess. I don't know.
Actually, I don't know if those are, that is a number. But anyway, well Happy New Year, Brian.
This birthday thing, and that's Frank. And his birthday is in February. I'm not sure exactly when. And note, see, I'm not calling in a female now. I'm calling.
Yeah, I was actually going to razz you about it, but I was thinking better of it.
Dr. Frank.
All right, doctor.
He's a doctor.
All right, Dr. Frank's having a birthday in February. Happy birthday, Dr. Frank. And Nate has prepared. His name will go into the hat. I know that I spoke with you on one of the nights that we were not on the air.
Yeah.
We were interrupted the first time because this station, the television station, wanted to put on its own Santa Claus and take phone calls, even though that's something we normally do on this show. And then the following week, they take the week off. Stan's here, you know, so they just take, no one works Christmas, New Year's week.
Well,
all right. Let's put it this way. They decided, the director of the station decides to close it down, so, and everybody gets paid for it. I don't know. I never see anything come before the board of directors on it. So I don't know whether it's legit or not.
Well, that's a personnel thing anyway, I guess, you know, especially if everybody wants to take that time off. But so far as, like, the financial information that you requested, that wouldn't that show up in the annual report anyway?
Yes, actually, it is online. The Attorney General's office does post the financials online. But I think Stan was trying to say earlier is that he does not use computers, so you didn't have access to that.
All right. So that means it's not accessible to everybody.
Yes, it is. All the other directors had computers. I was, when I went on, I told them I'm not a youngster anymore and I don't know that much about computers, that they were supposed to contact me for all meetings.
Yeah. Well,
they did.
That,
they did when they wanted me there.
It strikes me as odd, though, that they would show the statements, but nobody was allowed any copies of financial statements or anything like that.
No.
That's odd. I mean,
well, I agree with you. That's why I proposed certain questions. I was a director, and I worked for a billionaire in Virginia for 10 years. And believe me, every salary was broken down. And you knew exactly what everybody was getting. He knew what everybody was getting.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got 10 people, and if you saw what the salary is being paid for the 10 people monthly, you'd ask questions yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that. There's the benefits, that, you know, the fringe benefits and all that.
I ain't even talking about them right now. That's another story in itself.
That's a big factor, though.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Well, I hope it gets resolved very soon.
Well, I feel, as I say, that the people of Haverhill should have representation there, and I try to look out for their interests. As I said, I think the biggest slap in the face is to the people of Haverhill, and the slap in the face is to the mayor and the city council. That's who I think, because they never, when I went on, they never told me they changed the bylaws. They gave me a set of bylaws, and that's what I went by. Now, all of a sudden, they claim a year ago? Well, I was on a year ago.
The bylaws would be something that the board would vote on anyway.
I never saw it. I know nothing about it.
Nope.
They have not produced what the mayor has asked them to see when it was.
I don't know. It's kind of shady.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, I never saw it. I never voted on it. As I say, I have a copy of what they gave me. And the other four people were on the board at the time. And it all came as a shock to me because that was one of the questions he asked me, and I knew nothing about the change of the bylaws.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they didn't have the right to do it, but I never seen it, and they never notified the mayor or anybody else.
Right.
And I think it's a shame they alienated Essex Community College, too, by dumping this girl off of there, who was a very nice young lady that, you know, had a lot of input.
As soon as we can get that document up, I have to admit I'm having trouble opening it myself. As soon as I get that document up, we can explain more of that. Now, Brian, you've served on various nonprofit boards or worked for them, right?
Yeah.
Over the years. So they are regulated by the Attorney General. They're not really considered private like other...
No, they're public.
Yeah, they're public. That's why WHAV is also a public corporation, public media of New England. We even have public in our name.
Yes, and in the I just got a survey in email. You know, the usual kind of thing. Do you think the city is going in the right direction? Blah, blah, blah. And it asked about where the news was received, and I checked off WHAV.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, that's fine, but the survey never got submitted because when I got to the part where... I forget what the question was, but I checked. Oh, it asked if I was on Facebook, and I checked off yes. But then every time I try to go on, it would say, you checked other, and you didn't write anything. No, I didn't check other. Then I'd go back, and other is checked. And then go back and check yes again.
Okay, this is the mayor's survey, yeah, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the survey that he sent out. And maybe it's my old equipment.
Mayor Fiorentini, if you're listening, here's someone who voted for WHIV and could not submit their ballot. And as Dan Colton knows about ballots, we may ask for a recount if it's not favorable.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, I used to get Eagle Tribune online, but I do believe they charge for that now. Guess they have to stay afloat and all that. But, you know, I don't do that. I keep on getting forbidden messages even when I'm just looking at the obituaries.
Actually, I noticed there are some errors on their site.
Because, lots of.
There is the forbidden message sometimes when you turn the page.
Yep.
It comes up. All right, now, any word on your story? Stan, I don't know if you're familiar, but Brian had a really terrible 2014.
Indeed.
I mean, his wife passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
And his life savings and the safe they were in were stolen. Mm-hmm. Any word from Haverhill Police or anything, any leads that you can share with us?
Nothing new. I mean, I have a message into the detective, but I imagine that he's been put on other things, other assignments, and is going to try to get to that. But I'll try him this week, and in the meantime, we're going to try to have a fundraiser. And look at I'm getting my own plug here.
You're sure, then we'll start plugging in as soon as we get the details.
Yeah, okay. Well, the last week I was supposed to head over to Haverhill Bank, just one bank.
He knows the deal.
To get this fundraising account open, but I guess, you know, Lisa, and I guess you must have been busy, and but they'll be connecting with her very soon, and we'll get things moving along.
Well, let listeners know, too, about this event when it's scheduled. The last I heard, she was looking for a venue that would donate the space for the fundraiser. And you don't know if a venue's been found yet, do you?
I think she would have told me.
All right, so I mean,
I know my house isn't big enough.
No, you're
parking is a problem.
No, I understand. No, we'll figure that out. So anyway, well, we wish you a better 2015.
Thank you, Tim.
I hope everything comes out okay for you.
Thank you, Stan.
You're welcome.
And I'll be looking for Colton's Corner. I hope they don't pull that off.
I'm only going to have a hell of a fight if they do. then all hell will break forth. My 6'9" frame will really go up.
Oh, my. Do they still have Perspectiva Latina on there?
Who's that?
I was on a show there several years ago, and it was all in Spanish. Perspectiva Latina.
No, I haven't seen the program on there as far as it could be. I don't know.
I don't even know if she's around
anymore. I don't think so. Yeah. You know, I haven't seen it on there. I haven't heard them talk about it.
People could get to see just how lousy my Spanish has become. even worse now.
I actually saved something you said about HIV a few weeks ago. I'm going to use it as a promo if I have your permission.
What's that now? What promo?
Oh, let me see. I don't have it on our main computer, but I think I have it right here. Let's see. I can play it for you. Nate is telling me I'm way over time and I'm missing all kinds of stuff and so on.
Or Nate, he must be tearing his hair out.
So I've decided just not to look at him. So.
If you are an important person, so we got to continue to talk to you.
All right, what was it here? Let's see if this is it. Okay, this looks like it. I'm going to play it right off the computer, so it may not sound as good as normal because it's not wired into the system.
Uh-huh.
But hold on, let's see. By getting your permission to play it now... let me see. I'm waiting for this.
Witness our hands and seals.
That's right. And then we'll actually get one of those wax seals.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people, and I'm sure this is maybe one reason why Stan doesn't want to use computers, is that, of course, I'm staring at it with a spinning beach ball right now, waiting to think about whatever it's doing, so it won't let me do anything right now.
They've probably changed a lot since my day on the old Raz radio.
That's right, WRAZ.
WRAZ Radio, AM and PM.
Northern Essex.
Northern Essex.
Oh, boy. You know, everything freezes around here.
That's all right. You don't have to.
All right. Well, maybe I'll play it a little bit later and see what is happening with the computer.
I'll be tuned in until they cut you off at 8:30.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I have to say this. I appreciate the restraint that's obviously taking place at Haverhill Community Television because, well, until this thing came on, for keeping our broadcast on the air on Channel 22 tonight.
Well, yeah, but there are a lot of holes in the broadcast, though.
Yeah, well, I believe we're going to blame our other provider for this. I think Woody thinks it's part of a plot.
Yeah, but I know.
But I think it's just our other provider, for whatever reason, failed to recognize that we paid for a commercial-free account. Unless it's a new 2015 policy where you pay and still get commercials.
Well, maybe they changed their bylaws.
And now that's the punchline of the night.
In the dock.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for your call, and we certainly do wish you
the best of luck.
A happy happier year.
Well, thank you. It can't get any worse than last year, I hope.
No. So we do wish you the best, and I still want to play that clip, and I will. Then if you have any major objections, you can call in. How's that?
Yeah, well, I just hope that when you do play it, that it doesn't cut out and start giving me information about the health connection.
Oh, yes.
Or a Spanish Toyota commercial.
Oh, yeah, well, at least the Health Connector is a non-profit.
Right.
at least for now, anyway.
Yeah, right.
All right. Okay, we'll do that. Okay, I have another call, and then we'll play this a little bit later, and then we'll bring it all together.
Take care, gentlemen.
Right. Okay, good night.
Take care.
Goodbye.
All right, is that on your phone or on my phone? All right. So you are on the Open Mic Show. Are you there?
Yes, this is Jerry. How are you, Tim?
Hi, Jerry. How are you? This is Jerry, our environmental consultant.
Can you tune up your mic a little?
Yeah, I just pushed that up. How's that?
Yeah, that's better.
All right.
Hot off the press, the new chairman of the Methuen City Council is Councilor Ron Marsan.
Okay, Ron.
The new council chairman, and the co-chairman is a female, which is nice to have on the. Her name is Councilor Lisa Arad Ferry.
Oh, you know, and Lisa is the sister. Lisa is the sister of Haverhill City Clerk Linda Kudelis.
Is that right?
Oh, there's a lot of connections.
Well, anyway, you could tell that the new chairman. Probably was pretty sure he was going to be elected to the ruling spot because he was well versed on Robert's Rules. Yeah.
All right. So that was Ron.
Which is kind of an improvement. Yeah.
You said Ron Marsan.
Yes, Ron Marsan. Yeah.
All right.
And the meeting proceeded very nicely, and Councilor Shuler, in the end, made a very touching and very aggressive comment. He's concerned and upset about his taxes on his condominium. I guess he owns a condominium. Went up to $30,000 or $40,000, and he's wondering. He wants to know what the answers are. Well, gee, I know the answer, right? The answer is that we have 1,200 employees in the city of Methuen. 1,200 total employees.
Methuen has 1,200.
1,200 of those 1,200. What do you think the percentage is? School employees.
I'm going to guess. You tell me if I'm wrong. 60-70%.
No, it's more like 80%.
Wow.
There are approximately 950 primarily permanent employees with 34 temporaries. On the school department, school department roles. And so that's where all the money is. That's where all the costs are. For example, they had a consolidation committee. It's been kicking around for about a year, I'd say, or maybe even longer. They haven't had a meeting since October.
Now, wasn't there an issue in Methuen where actually the city was not paying the minimum per student?
Can't be blamed on the present mayor, though, because it's been happening since for a number of mayors, you know? When I say mayors, I don't mean horses.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I wasn't assessing the blame on any mayor in particular.
Well, anyway,
not a horse either.
It's like anything, on the municipal side, they must drool when they hear the word no child left behind, you know, with all the federal and state grants. As a result, Methuen really got in real trouble in what they call the net school spending. In other words, the amount of money that they received both federally and state funds were nibbled away at, and as a result, you know, the ratio of what's supposed to go to students and what's supposed to go to administration was apparently way out of kilter, was not good. And as a result, Methuen owes a big net school spending bill. We're talking about millions of dollars that have to be paid over the next, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, you know?
Yeah, Methuen never owned any health care facilities, right? Nursing homes or anything?
Pardon?
Did Methuen ever own any nursing homes or anything like that?
Yeah, they did years ago in Evans, right? But they were all acquired, right?
Right, right.
Privately,
right.
Yeah.
So they don't have the big debt like Haverhill has.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but think of that, though. The so-called heralded consolidation committee, which was supposed to look at this kinds of situations and come up with some solutions as to where or attest to the fact that the money is being spent properly or not. What Methuen really needs is a fiscal audit, really, especially, and the priority should be the school system. I've looked at the table of organization, which I don't see anymore, Tim.
Oh, all right.
I saw it at one time. And, and I think there was a Tribune story, too, Tim, that basically from the letter from the editors in the editors column that said, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, that said that Methuen's school system, educational system, was too much. In other words, an awful lot of management. You know, top heavy is exactly the word that they. Top heavy with administration. I think that was the term.
Oh, okay.
I looked at my taxes. Yes, my taxes are going up. And a couple of times I've said to school committee members and council members, to hire somebody like the Pioneer Institute to do an analysis as to, you know, what's happening here, you know, because it's affecting the whole city of Methuen, all the taxpayers. The same thing was happening with the Enterprise Fund for Water and Sewer. You know, nibbling away at it, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, Jerry, we appreciate your call. Happy New Year. We have to go to news now.
Yeah, the other thing that I just wanted to say is that I made some inroads into your request that David Gow wanted, and I think I gave you the person to call.
Oh, that's right. David Gow was looking at a story for WHAV.
Yeah, the director at the experiment station. He's a kind of a public health history buff too, and he would be delighted to talk to Mr. Gow.
Well, okay. Thank you very much for setting up the contacts for WHAV. And David Gowdswood, who will be calling.
Is that what his name? David Gowdswood?
Gowdswood, yeah.
Gowdswood, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
If he wants to call me, he can, but all he has to do is call that telephone number that I think I gave him for the director of the Lawrence Experiment Station. In those Shattuck reports, which were the annual report from the Commonwealth, are in the Lawrence Experiment Station laboratory, library, and, you know, if there's anything further that he needs, I would be happy to go down there and research them for him.
Oh, okay? Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. For our listeners, just so you know that Jerry's providing some contacts for David Goudswood, Open Mic Show historian. And he's working on an article that has some health-related matters. And Jerry's pointed out that all of these health reports going back, I don't know how long.
1896
are on file.
Yeah, it was called the Shattuck Report. It was an annual report.
All right, so.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, thanks as always. You are such a...
Well, I have a lot of time. I have a lot of time.
He's our consultant. He doesn't charge us anything. In fact, gives us money. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to local news, national news, local weather. We'll be back with more of the Open Mic Show. And our guest, I'm going to call him co-host, Stan Colton. We'll be back after this.
Open Mic! Tim Coco and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email tcoco@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV help keep these vital community services on the air. Donate online at www.whav.net.
It's 8:03.
WHAV Merrimack Valley. WHAV is a not-for-profit service of Public Media of New England, Incorporated. It's heard on 1640 AM, the web, at whav.net and participating cable television stations.
Here's what's happening in local news. A new task force created by Haverhill Mayor James J. Fiorentini to help battle the heroin drug epidemic in the city will hold its first public forum next week. Last week, Fiorentini announced during his end-of-year address to the Haverhill City Council the creation of an overdose task force, among other measures, in response to a growing number of young persons who have died from heroin and other opiate drug overdoses. Police patrol officers were recently equipped with nasal mist applications of Narcan, a substance used to help reverse the effects of overdoses. Fiorentini said the heroin epidemic is, quote, our top priority, end quote. The mayor's drug overdose task force has scheduled a public forum at 6 p.m. Wednesday, January 14, at the Constantino Middle School, 685 Washington Street. An aide to Mayor Fiorentini did not respond to WHAV's request for details about the new task force. A Haverhill man is due to be arraigned in the Haverhill District Court on various charges as a result of a traffic stop late Friday night. Haverhill police report 29-year-old Jose L. Sanchez of Haverhill was arrested on a charge of operating a motor vehicle after license suspension. He was also taken into custody on outstanding warrants for being present where heroin is kept, assault and battery on a police officer, disturbing the peace, threats, and assault. The arrest occurred at 10:40 p.m. Friday at 22 Webster Street. Three local people are facing various charges after their arrests Friday in the Lower Acre section. Haverhill police report 40-year-old Jennifer Collette of Haverhill was arrested on outstanding warrants, charging her with credit card fraud, operating a motor vehicle after license suspension, and a motor vehicle equipment violation. Also arrested on an outstanding warrant, 23-year-old Jasmine Castro of Haverhill was charged with shoplifting. A third person, 27-year-old Sean Haslett of Haverhill, was arrested on a charge of unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle. The arrest took place shortly after 11 a.m. Friday at 7 Rose Street. The former Winter Street School, 165 Winter Street, has been purchased by one of the groups involved in redevelopment of a block of Merrimack Street buildings. Mayor James J. Fiorentini announced the real estate closing took place December 31st and netted the city $303,250 in return. The property was acquired by 165 Winter Street Apartments, LLC, part of the development arm of the Planning Office for Urban Affairs, Boston. POUA is one of the partners involved in the development of Harbor Place on Merrimack Street. For more details, visit whav.net. In local high school sports, Whittier Tech Wildcats girls varsity basketball winners over the weekend. Sunday, the Wildcats beat Hope John High 66-33. On Friday, the girls varsity team won over Greater Lowell High 51-38, while the boys varsity team lost at Lowell 67-33. For more details, visit whav.net. Remember, WHAV is the only Haver-based news source, and it's always free. In the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, this is Dana Esmail.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. The United Nations has expressed concerns over new restrictions imposed by Lebanon to slow down the number of Syrian refugees crossing into its borders. Lebanon has imposed further restrictions on the influx of refugees, saying there is no more capacity to host Syrians fleeing the civil war. Li Lingtan reports from the UN.
The UN is increasingly concerned over the fate of the most vulnerable refugees fleeing Syria's civil war into Lebanon as Beirut makes a latest move to tighten its borders. In an interview with the BBC, the UN Refugee Agency said it is asking for clarity on how Lebanon will allow humanitarian access for the most extreme cases, which Beirut previously agreed to do. Lebanon has been under pressure to host a growing number of refugees as Syria's conflict extends into its fourth year.
Jury selection has begun in the Boston Marathon bombing trial. Jokhar Tsarnaev is accused of detonating two bombs at the 2013 marathon, killing three people and injuring 260 others. He's pled not guilty to all 30 charges against him, but could face the death penalty if found guilty. Meanwhile, a member of the grand jury that declined to indict the white police officer who killed black teen Michael Brown in a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri, is now suing for the right to speak publicly. Grand jurors are banned from talking about the proceedings of a case. Our U.S. correspondent Mary McCarthy reports.
In court documents, the grand juror claims to want to speak out to challenge misconceptions about the controversial decision to not indict Officer Darren Wilson, saying that the prosecutor misrepresented the grand jury's views. The suit was filed in a federal court in St. Louis, and according to Missouri state law, it's illegal for grand jurors to discuss deliberations. But the American Civil Liberties Union, which is representing the plaintiff, argues that the public is entitled to complete information not controlled by the government.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has begun a tour in which he plans to seek economic aid from China and various OPEC members as Venezuela reels from falling oil prices. Andrea Arenas reports.
President Nicolas Maduro also announced a series of measures intended to address Venezuela's economic crisis. Venezuela is estimated to have the largest oil reserves in the world, but since June 2014, the price of its oil has dropped more than 50%. Mr. Maduro has blamed his country's economic situation on the United States, saying Venezuela is suffering from the consequences of an economic war launched by President Obama, meant to destroy oil-producing countries.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Wave weather.
I'm WHAV meteorologist Gary Best with Wave Weather. It'll be fair basically through the nighttime hours after a chance of a flurry. Low temperatures around 10 to 15 degrees overnight. During the day on Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies. A bit of light snow or snow showers, not amounting to much, under an inch. Temperature low to mid-20s, down into the teens at night. 20s on Wednesday, partly sunny and windy, with a chance of snow showers, bitter cold, Wednesday night and Thursday. I'm Gary Best, your next Wave Weather in 30 minutes.
WHAV is on Facebook. For quick access, visit WHAV.net and click on the Facebook icon.
WHAV, Merrimack Valley, open mic.
From the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Tim Coco. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900. Or email tcoco at whav.net.
Welcome back to the Open Mic Show. I'm Tim Coco, your host. The Open Mic Show is a 50-year staple of democracy in the Merrimack Valley, and this hour is brought to you by the Merrimack Valley Economic Development Council. Smart companies choose the Merrimack Valley. Now, tomorrow, the new weekly edition of Merrimack Valley Happenings comes out. That's brought to you by the council, and you can find it at merrimackvalley.info. Merrimack Valley, one word, .info. And you can download the newsletter, and in fact, you can actually subscribe and get it in your email box every week. It's absolutely free, and the council provides you with the most comprehensive. I can't believe what they have. You ever seen it, Stan? It's a newsletter put out by the Economic Development Council, Merrimack Valley Economic Development Council, and just about every event, every school event, every cultural society event, every museum event, every concert, and then lots of news. If you're a business person, lots of information about who's expanding, who's hiring, and so on. It's a pretty neat newsletter.
Where'd they put it?
Yeah, so they put it online and email it. I know. See, you lose everything because you don't use computers, right?
I don't.
We'll print you one.
I'm too old.
Maybe I'll do a print edition sometime. Okay, we're back with our guest co-host tonight, Stan Colton, up until very recently, a member of the board of directors of Haverhill Community Television. And here's a question from a listener. David Gowswood asks, he's also our Open Mic Show historian, is there a contractual obligation for Comcast to give money to HCTV? If so, can the city stop it? Are we obligated to do so? And Stan, your response to David's question?
Is talk to the mayor.
All right. So the mayor can answer that.
Right.
But your thought during the break is that it's entirely up to the mayor who signed the contract. Is that right?
Right.
The mayor signs the contract with Comcast. It's a City of Haverhill contract, Stan said, as opposed to an HCTV contract, although during the interim, some portion of the money goes directly. And I imagine if I were a member of the board of directors, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, but maybe Stan will back me up. If I were a member of the board of directors of HCTV, I might be a little worried about contract negotiations next time they come up. Would you?
Yep. I would say so.
All right. So let's see how that goes. All right, if you're just joining us, we're taking, when's your birthday?
November.
November. Oh, you missed it.
You want to do my son out in California? I'll put him in for February.
Your son is in California? Will he come back and have a piece of cake with you?
No.
He won't? Well, he's still having a birthday.
You don't want to meet my son at 6'11".
Oh, yeah, you're pretty tall, too. I'll tell you what, I don't think there's anything in the rules that says the father can't eat the son's birthday cake. Nate, put that in the hat. All right, so we have a February birthday. What's your son's name?
Mark.
Okay, it's Mark's birthday. He's in California. What city?
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa. Can you tell us how old he is?
47, 48.
All right. So happy birthday, Mark. And if you want, you can. Does Mark use a computer?
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know.
He'll be able to watch this entire program later tonight. We'll have it on YouTube and on our website at whav.net so he can get his birthday wish. That is a valid birthday
wish. You know what his birthday wish is? Daddy to send him all 4 2-pound lobsters for his birthday.
Oh, so he loves those New England lobsters. Yeah. And you're going to send him 2 lobsters, you think?
Maybe. I got to send his wife, too.
4 lobsters. 4 lobsters.
I've been doing it every year.
Oh, you do it every year?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that a nice gesture? Isn't that nice?
Cost me too much money.
So you have to, send them in dry ice or something?
Yeah, they send them out overnight dry ice to him.
Overnight dry ice. Huh, you know, that's a good thing to know. You know, others who want New England lobster, there's nothing quite like it, right? All right, Nate's erasing his board, which means he's probably writing me a note. So let's see what Nate has to say. But meanwhile, it's about quarter past the hour of 8 o'clock. We've got about 15 minutes for the show. Oh, Nate wants to know, you know, if you want his address to send him lobsters.
Sure, no. I'd be more than happy. When's your birthday?
Your birthday's February 2? You're an employee, so I'm not sure you're eligible. But we can wish Nathan E. Webster III.
He can come in anonymously. So you don't have to know who sent it.
You can go to, if he wins, you can go to his house and have a piece of cake. Okay, so, see, it's a piece of cake. That's where it came from. All right, so, okay, folks, why don't we take the community spotlight break? And then I'm going to ask listeners, you know someone with a February birthday or a couple with a February anniversary, call the show, 978-374-1900. Name will go into the hat. If you're just tuning in, we were off the air for a couple weeks, so we awarded the January birthday to Samuel, and Nate thinks that was the name called in by regular listener Marcel.
You should have an extra birthday cake for Valentine's Day.
Should be an extra one for Valentine's Day. You know, maybe we'll do something about that. We'll look at some special Valentine's treat next week. We'll put Nate on that. All right. Let's take a brief break for Community Spotlight. We'll be back with more of the Open Mic Show and our guest, Stan Colton, in just a minute.
Open Mic!
Tim Coco and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email tcoco@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV help keep these vital community services on the air. Donate online at www.whav.net.
This is Pacifica Radio for the Merrimack Valley, WHAV.
Catch the wave!
The most trusted man in America, news anchor Walter Cronkite, once said, "It is absolutely essential in a democracy to have competition in the media, a lot of competition." That sentiment is one of the driving forces behind WHAV's expanded local news effort. This is News Director Dana Esmail inviting you to listen to my hourly weekday newscast right here on WHAV. You'll also find the area's most comprehensive local news reporting at WHAV.net on your computer or smartphone. Remember, WHAV is the only cable-based news source, and it's always free.
And that's the way it is.
Community Spotlight!
This is Susan McNeff, Director of Development for the YWCA of Greater Lawrence. Did you know that the YWCA provides programs and services to over 14,000 community women, girls, and boys annually? These programs are diverse and cover a lot of ground, ranging from breast and cervical cancer screenings for low and no-income women, domestic violence and sexual assault intervention and prevention programs, and residence programs for battered women and their children, to health and fitness programs, child care, after-school enrichment programs, and an amazing summer day camp. For more information on how you can donate either time, money, or services to the YWCA, please contact me at 978-687-0331 or log on to our website at ywcalawrence.org.
From the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Tim Coco. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900. Or email tcoco@whav.net.
Welcome back to the Open Mic Show. So let's recap, Stan. Those of you who may have just tuned in, Let's real quick recap. On October 17th, Haverhill Mayor James J. Fiorentini took advantage of his authority, as all mayors have done, to name his representative to the Board of Directors of Haverhill Community Television, a nonprofit corporation. And Stanley Colton was the mayor's reappointment. And the mayor received a response from Carol Verney, President of the Board of Directors of Haverhill Community Television, dated December 1st, and Carol Burney reports that the board of directors amended its bylaws, eliminating the seat held by Stan Colton. On December 8th, the mayor wrote back, said quite a bit here, but one key piece: from the time of its existence until now, HC Media has allowed the mayor of the city, whomever the mayor happened to be, to have one appointment on the board of directors. My appointment has been and will continue to be Stanley Colton. The mayor reacted to the term expired by saying this action will severely jeopardize whatever relationship there is between the city of Haverhill and HC Media. The mayor goes on to say that we'll take whatever steps are necessary to make certain Mr. Colton remains on the board. The reason this is up tonight is because Haverhill City Councilor Melinda Barrett has placed on the City Council agenda for tomorrow night her concern, not just that Stan's been knocked off the board, but that the fact that the city no longer has any appointment, whether it's Stan or anyone else. And her concern is that ultimately it is a City of Haverhill contract with Comcast. The city is under no obligation to give that money to anybody. The city gets these franchise fees, an amount per cable box, and probably number of channels and so on works into that. And Stan can speak to that. And then all of this money gets collected. Some of it goes to the school department for its television operation. I think the mayor may have some other uses for that money. And then the vast bulk of it then goes to Haverhill Community Television, which, according to information on file with the Secretary of State in 2012, that was $800,000. All right, Stan raised some questions. And it seems to be after you asked those questions, that's when the bylaws suddenly had been changed. Is that right?
As far as I know, I don't know. I have no idea when they were changed. They have a bad habit of not putting dates on the thing or having people sign the changes.
Stan, how do you think this will end? The mayor has certainly used very, very strong language in that letter.
How do I think it's going to end? I think the signature on the letter is going to, who has no love lost for the mayor, is going to fight him. Okay. I believe that, I don't know what the board of directors do. I think they're pretty reasonable and I think they're pretty intelligent. You may see some of them decide this is time to bail out, who knows? Something's got to be done to straighten out the situation, whether it's me or whoever else. I think they made a bad choice, not because of me, but, eliminating the girl from Essex Community College, which I think is a slap in the face to them after all these years, and have utilized them. And I think it's a slap in the face to the people of Haverhill, a slap in the face to the city council, and a slap in the face to the mayor, especially the mayor. I don't know. As I say, from the beginning that there's no great love for me by one individual in the main office there. And if this is her way of getting revenge, fine, good luck to her. She's got to go to sleep each night. Eventually, it'll catch up to them. But I feel bad. I think I've thrown 26, 27 years of my life away to try to see this thing go and really blossom. And they get every opportunity.
Will you continue your program, Colton's Corner?
I intend to.
All right. So it doesn't matter if you're not on the board, you still want to do your show.
Oh, I'm going to do my show. There's no doubt about it. They can't stop me from doing my show.
Okay. Now, actually explain that. Is there some kind of a contract with Public Access that says the volunteer produced shows have to air?
Yeah, I've been doing it for all these years. Yeah, she has to allow it. If you volunteer and you have your own show, she has to put it on. And I don't think they would mess with me in regards to that. I'm too vocal for them to, I get my own show going and I really blast out. And I do have a following on the Colts Corner, I built up over the years. I don't think they want to take me on that situation.
All right. Here's that message that Brian Langlois said on the air one night, and I saved it. Let's see if this works.
Certainly, we'll always carve out time to
Did you hear that? Brian says he'll always certainly carve out time to listen to the open mic show on WHAV.net.
You should use it.
Yeah, so we should put this on the air as long as Brian approves. So there we go. All right, do we have a call? Okay, let's work this one in, and we'll have to wrap up shortly. You are on the open mic show.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Former Haverhill City Councilor and maybe City Councilor to be.
Ken Quimby. Yes.
All right.
I just got home a few minutes ago, and I want to wish Stan you guys. I'm hoping tomorrow we can have victory of HCTV and what's going on up there, because I'm not too happy as a citizen or on Comcast or anything like that. Not happy the way things are going right now for the situation up there.
All right. If you were on the city council, Ken, what would your response be?
Well, I think it has to start from the top. Somebody has to be removed. I won't mention the person's name. They should be removed and put somebody else, you know, to run the programs and stuff up there at HCTV. And I'm hoping that's what happens. The person needs to resign and move along, so to speak. That's my opinion, you know, and so forth. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow night and listen to what's going on.
Now, Ken, you still go to every city council meeting, is that right?
Every week. Well, you know what? I won't go next Tuesday because my Tampa Bay Lightning's in town. They're playing the Bruins. Next Tuesday, I will miss it.
Oh, all right.
But otherwise, I would be there any other time I'm there, unless I go on vacation.
But you'll be there tomorrow.
Don't rub in the victory of the Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. Lightning's a better team than the Bruins, and I'm a happy guy right now. That's another story another day.
Now Kenny Quimby's going to be banned.
Yep. Oh, thanks.
I'll tell you, he goes back a long way with the TV station.
Yes. I was with Stan back in Bradford College when he had.
You go back there too.
Yeah, I was with him and Don Perkins. Yeah, that's when I first started helping out with the cameras. That's when I first got involved.
Oh, so you were a volunteer at Haverhill Community College.
Yes,
we all were.
Yep. Exactly.
We were in the council meetings when they went to 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Back then, they used to go
with Deacon and
Arthur Bauer. Oh, yeah. My police.
Those meetings did go back a while. And actually, Nathan Webster in the Master Control is also a volunteer at HCTV.
There you go. But, seriously, I know we're going to go up there in a minute or so. You folks, I'm hoping tomorrow there's going to be change. And I hope the mayor takes drastic steps as soon as possible. We need to do it and get it cleared up.
Well, Kenny, you got the last word. Thank you very much.
Have a good night, gentlemen.
Okay, Councilor. Good luck.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, Stan, for coming on the program tonight, shedding some light on this issue. You brought some letters
I'm giving you letters that are out to the public. I mean,
They're public information because they're city of Haverhill.
As I said to you, I just feel bad for the people of Haverhill that they have no representation. I feel bad for the councilors that voted to put me on, and I really feel bad about the mayor getting slapped in the face by certain individuals. I don't think it's right. I think he's due proper respect one way or another, and the board of directors should have got a copy of that letter and invited him on immediately. They probably, you know, thinking up answers right away to, you know.
All right. Well, that's the close of the program. We'll be back.
Everybody have a happy New Year. It's a healthy one.
All right. We'll be back next week with more of the Open Mic Show. Have a great night.
Open Mic!
Join Tim Coco live on the Open Mic again next Monday night at 6:30. The opinions expressed on the Open Mic Show are not necessarily those of WHAV, its underwriters, or affiliated stations. The Open Mic Show came to you from the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom.
It's 8:31.